We're back into the Gospel of Mark again. We've spent a lot of time with Mark, and there's more good words for us to hear. This morning, I'm going to read from the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 38 to 48, as we come closer to Lent, for one thing, and in Mark's Gospel, coming closer to the end of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. So, following the disciples arguing about who is the greatest, and Jesus straightening them out a little bit, then John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." Daunting words this morning. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these words of Jesus. And I would invite anyone that has heard these words in a new way or a challenging way for yourself or for our church. Would anybody share a good word this morning from the scripture? Ruby? No one who does a work of power in my name, Jesus' name, will be able to say bad things about Jesus afterwards. Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Whoever is not against us is for us. Is for us. There's a story told about the great psychiatrist Viktor Frankl. After giving an address in Australia, he was given a boomerang as a gift. He commented that the boomerang reminded him of our human existence. People assume that the function of the boomerang is to return to the thrower, he said. But it is the real function of the boomerang to hit the target and to return to the thrower only if it misses the target. The same is true for life. Frankl's image of a boomerang makes me think of how sometimes even our best intentions seem to boomerang back on us when we take our eye off the target. Now, Jesus was a better aim with his boomerang, so to speak. His disciples, however, often struggled with their aim. In our scripture this morning, we were told about an exorcist, a man who is casting out demons in Jesus' name. Now, remember, in the Gospel of Mark, we've been reading about Jesus' ministry of freeing people from demons, from diseases, from death itself. And we've heard about Jesus freeing his disciples from anything that might separate them from the kingdom of God. And the disciples did really well for a while. When Jesus sent them out into the neighboring villages around Capernaum with nothing but their walking staffs, he says, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, totally dependent on God. Well, apparently the disciples had great success casting out demons and illnesses and preaching repentance. Their boomerangs did not return empty. But that was another day. Soon after that, while Jesus, Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other disciples were off trying to cast out evil spirits, but failing in their efforts, in their aim. In fact, their efforts boomeranged upon them when Jesus arrived and said to them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you?" Can you imagine how hurt they must have felt? They couldn't understand their failure until Jesus explained that only prayer, only a living relationship with God, could cast out the evil spirit. So it makes you wonder what they were aiming for with their boomerangs. Fame? Glory? Power? Now, just before Jesus' scripture, as I mentioned, Jesus tried to set them straight because they had been arguing with themselves who was the greatest. So he sat them down and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whomever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Notice Jesus' words aimed toward the one who sent me. Even Jesus pointed beyond himself. When he threw his boomerang, it was aimed at God's purposes, at God's kingdom purposes, at serving God's will, not his own. What did the disciples hear in Jesus' words? Not what he intended, as we heard. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." The disciples tried to stop the man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name. He was freeing people from demon possession. He was proclaiming Jesus' name. He was doing the will of God, freeing people to access the kingdom of God. But the disciples told him to stop because he was not one of us. He was not doing it our way. Their aim was all about us. Poll question: not quite as difficult as Jesus. How many of us struggle at times with comparing our church with other churches or ourselves with other Christians? Anybody struggle with that at times? Yeah. And with other pastors, yeah. No wonder the disciples had trouble casting out that evil spirit earlier. No wonder their efforts boomeranged back on themselves. Jesus had just set them free from concern about themselves, from focusing only on their own needs. Yet there they were, needing to be in control, needing to determine who was in and who is outside their kingdom. I did say their kingdom, because God's kingdom doesn't label some people as in the kingdom and some as outside God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, everyone is welcome as long as they receive the kingdom like a little child. Like a little child. Now remember, in Jesus' day, a little child had no rights, no status. They would have no understanding of religious practices. They would be totally dependent upon their father for any status, any inheritance, for life itself. Does a child set the conditions for who is part of the family and who is not? Did the disciples have the right to determine who is part of Jesus' family, part of God's kingdom? Well, even a child knows that answer. Jesus said that children were part of his Father's kingdom. Jesus said that you have to be like a child, totally dependent upon God in order to enter God's kingdom. So, who is part of God's kingdom? You can tell. Those who do God's will, who build God's kingdom, like that man casting out demons in Jesus' name, so people were set free to enter God's kingdom, free to live as God created them to live. You see, it's always all about the kingdom with Jesus. It's all about God and God's purposes. Jesus said that even someone who simply offers a drink of water to a kingdom builder, one who bears the name of Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. But if you aim your faith, your hope, your trust in any other direction, it's going to boomerang back at you, likely with undesired results. You see, bottom line, God's kingdom is so important that if you put up any barrier, any stumbling block that interferes with someone else entering the kingdom, Jesus said, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone, and I think there's a good picture of that, around your neck. Not a pleasant experience. God's kingdom is so important that if your hand gets in the way of God's kingdom, you'd be better off to cut it off. To cut it off. Rather than missing out on the kingdom yourself. And the same if your foot gets in the way of God's kingdom. Even if your eye gets in the way of the kingdom, if your eye strays from aiming at God's kingdom toward yourself or any other target, any other priority, then you're likely to experience a boomerang on your efforts. Folks, Jesus is offering the perfect target, the only target worth aiming for, the kingdom of God, a living relationship with God. It's not just a dream, And it's not just a promise for the sweet by and by. It is a new reality, a growing and thriving reality, a scandalous reality in our world today. Yes, God's kingdom is real today, and it belongs to children. To children. And to those who receive the kingdom as a little child, totally dependent upon God. So set your aim upon Jesus and God's kingdom. Cast your life upon God's ways. Trust in God to guide your every step, to guide your aim like a child. Trust like a child. Jesus promises that you'll never miss the target. So our final thought, what gets in the way of us focusing on God's purposes daily? There's a lot of things. Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for the beautiful weather this week, for the opportunity to gather with your family, my family, our family of Jesus, followers of Jesus, doing our best, stumbling at times and needing you to help us along the way. Thank you for helping us, picking us up when we need it, brushing off the dust, giving us a little swat on the behind, teaching us to be like children in our faith, totally dependent on you. It's hard in this world, God. Even the leaders in our world, even faith leaders, are struggling with this. God, we need to depend on you to fix this whole creation and to offer ourselves to be your hands and feet and voice and whatever else you need. Thank you, O God, for letting us be your family. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.